Today's sermon is called United We Stand. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Lord God, of our Eastertide resurrections and new starts, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In our text today, Jesus says, now they know, protect them. Can what you do not know hurt you? I was at the Festival of Homiletics this last week. It's always the third week of May. And so I was there this week, and I didn't know many people with which I attended this annual conference. And this year, it was in Minneapolis, and that's where Luther Seminary, the sponsoring seminary of the conference, is located. So when I arrived, it was very little surprise that there would be a number of Lutheran clergy there. Now, from a very young adult age, I learned how to work a room, so I got up my courage and I introduced myself to the fellow in front of me wearing a purple shirt and a clergy collar. I introduced myself, where I serve, and then ask in a friendly manner, how about you? He looked me up and down and responded only with his name. But because we play nice, I innocently and curiously inquired, and where do you serve? And he curtly responded, I am a bishop. Now, it was one of those moments. This is the intersection between when I didn't know something and when all things became clear, in this case, clothing-wise, a sense of awareness settled about how disconnected the two of us were by the clothes we wore. I'm wearing a sports shirt for checking into a conference for a couple of days and where I didn't have to dress up for my people. But he was already announcing that he was at work and available as part of the Lutheran Church infrastructure and management. And in that moment, our oneness in the one we serve was overshadowed by a barrier of a piece of clothing and by these weird unspoken regulations that broker meaning and power in clergy circles. So I said to the bishop, well, that explains the clergy collar again. Glad to meet you. Now, this guy was not having the best of days because I got nothing. No smile, no nod, not even a dull uh-huh. I did get the silence and steely glance that packed shame, hostility, confusion, or all three. Because you see, when we're called together as religious leaders, the idea is to open our hearts and lives to God's instruction in a particular space and time. But the space between the two of us in the lengthening registration line, somehow that didn't feel like much of a blessing. So let's remember, we're in the Gospel of John. And in chapter 8, Jesus teaches the Jewish people in the treasury of the temple. Here, Jesus stakes his claim, his oneness with God. He's about to continue his journey on the road outside the city and into a garden where he'll later be betrayed, and he knows it. With stones in their hands, they'll gather to kill Jesus. He shakes the foundation of their faith when he suggests that he is one with God. And so they search for a way to diminish him, and particularly diminish his claim. They seek to deny his very identity. Their collective voice is suspicion, right? He's a Samaritan. He shouts louder than Jesus' voice of compassion. And in that word, Samaritan, 700 years of shame, an outsider, an outcast, come down they're shouting Samaritan. And that shout's louder than Jesus' voice of compassion in the face of their lack of understanding. In John chapter 8, they don't know who stands before them. And Jesus asks them, "Why do you not understand what I say?" It's as if he's saying what God has said about him before. At Jesus' baptism, God calls out, "Listen to him." And at this moment when he's teaching, Jesus says, "Listen to me." Jesus speaks as prophet, as a fellow Jew, as a neighbor. He says, "I have something important, something life-changing to share with you." Jesus goes on to claim that he is the Son of God, but he humbly says a few times in their exchange that he's seeking God's glory, not his own. To glorify God is to know where you've come from and to whom you belong. Now that's just some context and background to help you understand that by this week's reading, Jesus has left the temple and is approaching the garden again. He looks up to heaven and he launches into prayer. And that prayer is what you may know. When other denominations know this, right? They memorize this. They're better at the Bible than we are in the United Church of Christ. They know this as the priestly prayer. These passages, John 17, 1 to 11, the priestly prayer, it's a blessing of loving and kindness, connecting the disciples to one another that will carry them through evil, darkness, betrayal, the days to come, their eventual martyrdom. Most all of the disciples, as we know, are eventually killed. But we don't memorize the priestly prayer, do we? We all know the Serenity Prayer, but why not this one? Maybe we're more ready to accept that we cannot change than we are ready to accept and seek unity in Christ. Maybe it's too difficult to trust that unity does not mean uniformity. Unity can sound like doctrinal conformity, and doctrinal conformity leads to rules and regulations that broker power. And I can tell you, in the UCC, we don't like doctrine. We definitely don't support power outside the local church. It's in our Constitution when we came together as four denominations in 1957 that each local congregation will control its own financial and theological affairs. And there isn't anything anybody can say or do about that. But what Jesus prays, however, and this is important, is part of our denominational ethos. He says that they may all be one. We've got these little pendants. You might have seen the logo of the United Church of Christ. And it says at the top, United Church of Christ. It's got a cross and a little crown and an orb. And then along the bottom, it says that they may all be one. Jesus prays through the lens of glory, glory given by God to Christ. And it is in that makes us one. To glorify God, remember, is to know where you've come from and to who you belong. It's to take rest in the blessing that comes when we put others before ourselves, to serve strangers and shine in the light of the world into the shadow of darkness, which seems all too present in the news each day. Glorify God is to risk opening our hearts by living into this oneness when we would rather not bother expending the energy that takes. In this priestly prayer before God, Jesus pleads for the disciples and all future believers, and for that fact, to be one. Because that oneness is the blessing that Jesus knows intimately with God. They have kept your word, Jesus says to God, even as he faces betrayal and departure and abandonment of the disciples this night of his trials. They have followed me here, he says. They know something of the intimacy of our oneness. Protect them, he says. Jesus prays for us. I'll leave you with these final thoughts. That bishop was maybe having a better day later in the conference leading worship, because when he said to 1,200 of us who were gathered there, he's leading worship, and he said, a Christian breaks down barriers among groups at home, among the churches and the communities, and to the ends of the earth. There is no fear among the groups when we are one. Christ is the love that casts out our fear. Jesus asks God, with all he has for protection for the disciples and for us, that we might be about the work of breaking down barriers. There's so much stuff in position, power, and ego to overcome. And Jesus understands how hard this work of breaking down barriers is going to be. Even though he has given us a new commandment to love one another as he has loved us. It's not easy to accept that we need the blessing and protection of a God who guards and guides our lives, but with God's blessing and protection, we're able to create spaces of blessing wherever we find ourselves, trusting that we live in the unity before one God. Because Jesus says, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. May you believe it, friends. And may it be so this day. Thanks be to God. Amen.